accession number 19912, reel 3.
Mr. Weinberg, reel 3.
I went to Camberley and there became immediately up a problem. The problem was a language problem, because my French, as I told you already, was a school French. And somehow, as I had to go through the recruiting training, first of all, each time when the sergeant said, turn, left turn, I may have left right, or I may not have left at all, and the sergeant got very annoyed with me until a few of other recruits told me what to do and what it meant when he gave these orders left, but naturally all in French.
What establishment were you at in Camberley?
In Camberley was the Free French Forces recruitment and soldier who already came from Narvik and from also who had been in Dunkirk and had been able to come over. And others who were able to flee from France via Spain and Gibraltar to join the Free French Forces. Actually, in the memory, de Gaulle writes, the first who came were the Jews and the black. He meant by that Cassin, who was Jewish, and he meant also Eboué, who was the general governor of the Tchad. And the Tchad came immediately into with de Gaulle, which gave the Allies a big advantage for their forces. After about 2 months of recruiting, there came an order I should see de Gaulle in the headquarters. He had heard of what was did happen on the ship with his German spy. And now he wanted me to join a very special force. And he asked me if I would be able to do that. I said, there's nothing I wouldn't be able to do if what he wanted me to do. And so I went to Aldershot under a complete different name and was trained, very hard trained, in what you call a commando training.
What name did you have?
Robé, as I told you. And after that training, I went to see de Gaulle again, and he signed a document and a pass for me, whereby I was able to arrest any officer up to to a general or any soldier if I had the suspect that he was a German spy or a Vichy man who was introduced into the forces. The only people who were briefed on that was General de Lamina, who was the commander-in-chief of Free French Forces in the Middle East, General Koenig, General Simon, he became later knowing it, and General Brosset, who was afterwards the division commander of the 1st Free French Division, which I was attached to.
What was it? What kind of training did you get at Aldershot?
A real commando, a training, which means you could be able, you should be able, to spring out of a lorry in 20 miles going and shoot at the same time the enemy between the eyes and things like that. It was a very hard training. In total, there were 30 of us, but we came out with only 21.
And then you had a security job?
And then I go back to Camberley. Now, this woman comes into the story. I knew Ruth, which I live now with, when I was 17 and she was 15 in Stuttgart. She could not go with me. We had fallen in love together. She went in 39 in the last moment with her mother to Glasgow, to Scotland. I don't think directly to Glasgow, to some other little town. I don't know which town it actually was. And we had naturally ridden all the time together. And when I came to Camberley, I knew that she was somewhere in Scotland. I went to the police and I said, I would like to do me a favor and find out where Ruth, and I told her all the name and everything, is at this moment, because I want her to come to join me in Camberley, and we want to get married. The police, for the police it was very easy to find them, because she was registered as a friendly alien, and I had to guarantee for her, so she came down immediately to Camberley. I was, without knowing anybody, given the rank of a lieutenant. But you will find in all my papers the rank of Marshal de Logis, because of some other reasons which I personally never understood. Anyway, as I was a second lieutenant at that moment, I was allowed to sleep outside the camp. And we rented a flat in Camberley, and we lived together. Her mother came to help us to get all the papers in order, and the wedding was set for the 4th December 1941 at 10 o'clock in the morning. Even a rabbi of the British army had been told to be there and to ready us. A At 3 o'clock in the morning, the telephone came. And the sergeant in the camp who was on duty said, "You have to come immediately. The commander of the camp wants to see you." Naturally, I obeyed and immediately went. The commander told me, "Sorry to tell you, you have to leave immediately on a special mission you were trained for." I said, "Commander, I, Major," I said, he was a major. I said, "Major, that's impossible. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I will be married. You know that." He said, "Your marriage can't take place today, but it will take place in 2 weeks' time when you are back from your mission." So I went. Alone, the boat trip took more than 2 weeks because they embarked us on the Ile-de-France, which was with General de Gaulle, around this Cape Town to Port Said. From Port Said to through then Palestine to Lebanon. You know that there was a terrible battle in Lebanon going on, which had finished when we came, but there was a lot of Vichy people still, and also there were still German officers who had been sent to Lebanon to guide the Vichy forces against the Free French and the Australians and the British. So I was to present myself to the gendarmerie commander of Lebanon, major by name of Merzereau. And I came up to his office and presented myself. And he said, "Well, for a few days I want you here in my office. Then I will give you names, and then we find out where they belong really to the Free French." And I thought to myself, what the hell does he want? He was here since years. Is he with the Free French, or is he with the Vichy? And by asking him some questions and by asking him his military his military career, I found out that he really was with de Gaulle, and that was one of the trainings we had also, to find out how to handle these kind of questions, to know what the people really did think. Even some of them you couldn't make out, never. But I found out that he really was with de Gaulle. After 8 days, I think, yes. After 8 days, he said to me, "Look, I want you to take over the command of the Rashaya fortress. In this Rashaya fortress, there are Vichy prisoners, German officers prisoners, and Turk prisoners." I said, "Turk prisoners? What is that?" He He said, well, they were here, and they were walking with the Rishi people, so we had arrested them and put them there. And what I do not know, he said, if the sergeant major, who is at the moment in command of the fortress, is really with de Gaulle or is a man of Vichy, and I have my suspicion. So I would like you to go there and take over if soon as you find out that he really is a man of Vichy. You then have to do what you think is necessary. So I went to the fortress of Rashaya, which is between Lebanon and Syria, and was just situated on the frontier with then still Palestine. Entre parentheses, down was one of the kibbutzes already done from which still today exists. And I went one evening down and talked to the people and was invited to Friday evenings and Saturday services. But I told them on Saturday morning that's impossible for me. But Fridays in the evening from time to time when I can make myself free, I come down, which I did. So I went there and couldn't make up my mind about this sergeant major. He was a very nervous man and had something which I personally never had seen before. He, every 5 minutes, moved his head like this. And he was really somehow with an illness. So I said to him, look, my friend, I think you have done your part of the war. Why don't you retire completely and look after yourself? He said, I'm so thankful that somebody tells me that, but the superiors don't want me to go. I said, well, don't worry, I will do something about it. So I talked to Mathero and told him he should do something that he can live in Lebanon, because he really is with de Gaulle, I think. But anyway, he can't do any harm anymore, because he is ill, absolutely ill. He has some nerves, some tick of nerves, and he is no good in the army anymore. Okay, so it was done. And now it comes. I was about, May 42. A letter comes from this lady telling me, I'm sorry to tell you, I fall in love with a British soldier and I married him. The sergeant on my side was responsible that I can tell you the story. I had already my pistol out and wanted to shoot me. And the sergeant got angry with me and said, that is no good. Women, to shoot himself for a woman. I said, you can't understand that. I know this lady since I don't know when. And you pipe down. You don't say anything. I'm now going down to Beirut and tell the command, tell the major I want to go to the front immediately. I can't stop you. So So I went down and told the major, not a real story, I told him that my fiancée was killed in a bomb raid in London, and I want to go into the battlefield. He said, okay, if you want to go to the battlefield, you go. So he sent me to Cairo to see the lamina. It was just that the Battle of Bir Hakeim had finished, and Koenig had very serious losses also when he broke through the ring of Rommel's army, the Afrika Korps, and the Italian. He had resisted to allow Monty, who in meantime had taken over, to rebuild the 8th Army. And his losses were very heavy. So when Koenig saw me, who by then did not know that I was directly depending on orders of General de Gaulle, said to de Lamina, well, he will come into the Foreign Legion and he will take over a company or whatsoever. De Lamina said, no, impossible. I said, what do you mean, impossible? And I stood there like an idiot, talking to two generals furiously between them. And de Lamina said, now, show him your papers. So I showed him the papers. And Koenig got furious. Why don't I know about this? How do I learn this way? So de Lamina answered, I don't know. If you don't know until now, I can't help that. I have been informed, and I think only a very few of us know about this for reasons which the General de Gaulle will definitely know why. So the situation calmed down. I didn't go into the Foreign Legion, but I was sent to Ismailia. And Ismailia was a British school of special work for engineers. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Anyway, you learned there how to put booby traps, which Aldershot were not even, they didn't know by then, I suppose, all these terrible little things which you could do. And we learned a lot of other things there. And from there, I was first attached to the 6th Company of Genie, which is the engineer company. And this company was part of the first French division, Free French division. It came then to the battle in the Middle East, up to Tunis, the Battle of Maret, the Line Maret, where the British took an awful lot of losses. It was a battle, a very hard battle, because the army had to pass between two highs. The pass was like this, and then up the mountains. And the Germans had fortified that terrifically. So Monty said to König, called König, and said, I want your division to attack this position. Is there anybody who can do a special work? So the war did go wrong, and I said, I'm a volunteer to do this with my instructions, because I wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore because of the letter I had got. So I, with a few other volunteers, parachuted behind the lines on the mountains from there and destroyed the post of the German enemy. But what we didn't see, that there was one heavy machine gun position still, and when we attacked, the shooting did go on from this machine gun. So we then the Marokis troops up. You know the Marokis, they went against the Germans, their big knives in the mouth, and stormed everything without looking who is being killed on left and right. And they got up and got a German officer, lieutenant, who was still there, shooting like an idiot, all by himself, nobody else. And he was brought down and was brought to me, and I said, the hell, are you crazy? All your comrades are away? What happened? Let me have your paybook. So I took his German paybook, and you wouldn't believe, the name of the good man was Helmut Levy. I said, what? Are you Jewish? He said, yes, I am. I forgot myself and hit him. And I said, you terrible man. I said something completely else. I don't want to repeat that here. And what do you think you are doing in the German army? I am a German Jew. I was born in Germany. But I would not even think of it, to fight for the Nazis. He said, yes, but you see, I am a specialist in radar, and the Germans took my wife and my two daughters, and if I would not have gone with them, they would have killed them. I asked him, tell me one thing. When did you hear the last time from your family? Oh, he said, the last letter I got, that is a year ago. He said, do you really think that your family still lives? Do you believe they are still there after a year and you fight for the Germans?